Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you. Lord, bless.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Ellie. So glad you have stopped by the show today. We have an exciting topic that we will be talking about today. And the title of it, there are two things that keep us from winning. Hallelujah. And we're giving God the praise and we give him the glory today for what he's doing and what he's going to do in each and every one of our lives today. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done to him. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today, you know, I realize Christians carry a lot of excess baggage with them throughout their lives. The excess baggage of the past that is weight. The Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I find a parallel here, as if being human was not enough baggage. Christians choose to exceed the allowable number of baggage while traveling throughout this life. We're talking about there are two things that keep us from winning. And over as I was reading in Hebrews 12:1, the word of God said that the two things that keep us from winning the race is weights and besetting sin. And over in Hebrews it said, therefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and that sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you think about that, when you read those words of the word of God, and then when you go over to Philippians, we'll turn over to Philippians this morning. 3:13. And I read that to you earlier. You know, when you think about weight and sin, your past is just like that, your past. The Apostle Paul tells us what he has done while admonishing us to do the same, forgetting those things which are behind us. I mean, you got to drop those weights, those sins, all that extra baggage that you've been carrying off so you can win. You can't win on God's side carrying all that excess weight, baggage, and sin. You know, not everyone has, you know, a persistent past life. Some of you lived like heathens before you were saved, while others chose to live like heathen after they were saved. But all of that is in the past now. Relieving your past mistakes would hinder you from going forward. The Apostle Paul was guilty of quite a number of terrible crimes against the people of God, yet God forgave him and gave him a new life in Christ. Which will he do for you? Your sins are in the past and should be left in the past. So don't let people keep throwing up your past to you. God have thrown it in the sea of forgiveness. You likewise. When somebody bring up your past or want to bring up your past, what you used to do, what you used to say, tell them that's in the past. God have already erased it from your mind and his, and they need to erase it from their mind. You know, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. You'll find that in Psalms 103:12. You know, God buries our sins in the depths of the sea. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquity, and thou shalt cast all thy sins into the depths of the sea. You'll find that in Michael 7:19. And over in Hebrews 8:12, it says, God has forgotten our sins altogether. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Here he have letting us know he forgotten our sins. So why are you still hanging on to the weights and the sins and that baggage in your life? God have already erased that. He have eradicated you. He have cleaned up your past. So don't let people still keep bringing your past back to you, because God have already taken that and cleaned that completely out from you. You know, over in Isaiah 38:17, it say, "Behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pits of corrupt. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." You know, God has cast our sin behind. He letting you know, I done cast all them sins out. Don't let that stuff, that weight, keep weighing you down. Don't let it keep getting next to you. He letting us know there are two things that keep us from winning. And that's the weight we're carrying, the sin we're carrying. He letting us know we don't have to continue on carrying all that excess baggage. You know, not only that, but we have been forgiven of our sins because of Calvary. So why do you keep carrying with your sins that have been removed? Buried, forgotten, and placed behind God's back. This is excess baggage you do not need. Here he's letting you know through the word of God that he have forgiven you. He have removed all that from you. He have buried it. You start bearing it. He have forgiven it. You. You forgive yourself. And he has placed it behind God's back. It's behind him. It's no more in front of you, nor in front of God. He throwed it in the sea of forgetfulness. And that's the two things that keep us from winning. Because we keep wanting to hold on to the weight. Hold on to the sin and the baggage that was in our life. Let that stuff go. Let it go, because God want to do a new thing in you. You know, you when you think about the excess baggage of the past, let's go over to Ephesians 4:22 and see what Ephesians 4:22 is saying. And Ephesians 4:22 says, "Put ye off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Here he telling you, put off concerning the former conversation. That conversation is dead. It's gone. It's never to return. So don't let people continue on throwing up the past to you. God have cleaned you up. He have rectified you. Your past is your past. He have thrown it in the sea of forgetfulness. And as a Christian, you still have the old man living inside of you when you think about that. This is your old nature. It did not die when you got saved. It is very much alive. And the Apostle Paul taught us that it stays with us daily. But over Romans 7:18, the word of God says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You'll find that over in Romans 7:18. You know, Christians could actually be like Jesus if they weren't so much like the world. See, when you take your mind from being focused on the world and put your mind on being focused on what Christ Jesus is doing, you'll be surprised on what you will learn through the scriptures, what God will reveal to you when you let that former stuff go and let God intervene in your life. You know, there's an excessive baggage of lust of the flesh. This is what the flesh desires over the things of the spirit. You know, we have a lot of people that everything is fleshy with them. But when they let that flesh go and pick up the spirit, you know, there is excess baggage of the lust of the eyes. That is what the eyes desire to have over the things of the spirit. You know, we can see so many things that we can lust at over with our eyes, food, clothing, human, a whole bunch of things, materialistic things. I'll list it like that. Now, that covers a lot. You know, there is an excess baggage of the pride of life. That is what keep you from being what God wants you to be. You know, you can let that pride stand in your way where you cannot let God come in and do what he wants to do with you. You got to move that stuff out of your way and let God come in. Let God do what he do best. My, you know, God is just so good. And here it was telling us the baggage will always cost you more than you anticipated at first. That baggage that you're carrying around, just as, you know, I think about the airline, allows you a certain number of bags. They will make you pay for anything over and above that. In the same way, God allows you to be human, but forbid you from being worldly. Over in 1 John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hear the Lord telling us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That all that is temporal. It's going to pass with a blinking of an eye. It's going to be gone. But when you think about your Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Yahshua, how he will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him and not the worldly stuff. And the Word of God says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He telling you, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Let your mind be renewed daily through the scriptures. You know, is there a biblical answer to putting down this baggage? You go over to Galatians 5 and 16, and it addresses it clearly. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here they're telling you to walk in the Spirit. Oh my, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you start walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You won't have no place for that old devil, that old enemy, to come in to try to sift you as wheat. You know, this excess baggage of the future, you can go to Matthew 6, 25 and 33, and I'm going to read that. They say, therefore I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thoughts, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spring and spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if any god so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know, when some Christians worry about everything, and that favorite song is, why pray when you can worry? Or a Christian who worry about the future find it difficult to be the kind of Christian they ought to be today. The Bible speaks of fret and worry. He don't want us to fret. He don't want us to worry. When you think about that, weight, sin, and baggage. Those three things we need to drop to keep us from winning the favor of God. We hold on to all those little worldly things. It's time for each and every one of us to drop those things. Worry, fear. It's time to move on. God has moved on. Why can't we? He has moved all the obstacles. He moved all the past from us. When he moved the past, you don't go back thinking about the past. It's going to be somebody else where the enemy is saying, girl, you remember Miss So-and-so or Brother So-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. But you say, that's in the past. God has removed it. I forgot it. I've moved on, and so should you. Don't linger with it. Just move on. Let them sit there and worry about and contemplate it on the past. You need to drop them weights, that sins, that baggage that people trying to keep you to pick up. You don't need to keep picking up all of that. But we giving God the praise and the glory this morning, for there are two things that keep us from winning. And we're going to put on a song this morning. Why? And then we'll take a few minutes and come back.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a caller on the air today, and it's Bishop Aaron Dixon, and he's going to come on and speak to us today on there are two things that keep us from winning. And I'm going to let him come to you in his own way.
God bless you. God bless you, Overseer Sadie, and to all of the listeners. God bless you to Overseer Sadie and to all of the radio listeners. My name is Bishop Abram Dixon, and I'm here in Houston, Texas. And I'm so blessed to have an opportunity that is given today to share something from the Word of the Lord. I believe the subject is there are two things that stop us from achieving and winning. And the Lord spoke to me as Dr. Sadie asked me to come on and share something from the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to give you two things real quick. It is my belief that there are two things that stop us from winning. Number one is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Write that down. Number one is fear. Whether you know it or not, sometimes you can be scared to win. Even having the ability to win, you can be fearful, and fear will stop you from winning. There are many athletes who are on the line running the 100 or 200, and they're on the line, and physically they're fit. Physically they're faster than the other people that are on the starting line with them. But fear, will I trip? Will my time be fast enough? And your mind will take you out of the zone of winning because of fear. Sometimes people who fought Mike Tyson in a boxing match, it wasn't that they were not trained well. It wasn't that they were not physically fit. It was not that they didn't have the talent that was needed to pursue their dream. When they got in, they concentrated on Mike Tyson's resume, and they calculated his victories before and allowed fear to come in. So fear, number one. Number two is the tenacity to pursue. That will stop you from winning if you don't have the tenacity to pursue it. If God gave you a dream and God gave you a vision, you have to have the tenacity to pursue it. Tenacity in the synonym form means determination, perseverance, amen, to apply a purpose to it. So you've got to apply the tenacity to pursue it. Now let me give you a scripture and then I'll close. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel, Overseer Sadie, you're going to love this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It says that David was on the battlefield. He had gained a victory. David had gained a victory, and he comes back to Ziklag, and the enemy had went into his camp, and they took everything. They burned all the stuff, but they took their wives, their children, and their sons. Took their wives, their children, and their sons, and they had taken the women captive, and therein, and they. Here's the key verse, number two. They took the women, they took the children, they took the sons and the daughters. They burned down everything, but they slew not any, neither great nor small. They didn't kill any of the wives. They didn't kill any of the sons. They didn't kill any of the daughters. They burned the stuff, but they didn't kill anybody. Now, I start shouting when I read that again this morning. They took all the stuff, and they burned it, but they didn't kill any of the wives. They didn't kill any of the children. Sons or daughters. Most of the time you're going to kill the men, keep the women, and you'll sell them off and use them. They didn't kill any of the wives. They didn't kill any of the sons. They didn't kill any of the daughters. They took all of them captive. I want to prophesy to somebody who feels like they've lost everything. If God gave you a dream, God gave you a vision, it is not dead. God did not allow the devil to kill it. It may no longer be in your possession. The enemies took the stuff. So it was no longer in David and his men's possession. But God did not allow them to kill it because God's intention was for you to go get it back. My God, my God.
Jesus.
Lord, the Holy Ghost spoke to me today and said, notice, Dixon, he said, tell the people today, I did not allow the enemy to kill the stuff. The important thing, I did not allow the enemy to kill it because I intend for you to go get it back.
All right.
Now, that's a shout right there. So while it may look like your dream has not come to fruition, the things God showed you, the things God promised you, it seems like you're dealing with a dead situation, a dead dream, a dead vision. I want to prophesy it is not dead because death is final. God did not let the enemy kill it. Somebody may have spoke against it. You may have walked away from it. Somebody might have talked you out of it. But it is not dead because it was death is final. God says, I'm not going to allow the enemy to kill it. I'll allow the enemy to speak against it. I'll allow you in your own flesh to walk away from it. If you're fearful of succeeding, you may delay, but I've not allowed the enemy to kill it because it is my intent for you to go back and get everything that I have given you. And so David and his men, now I like this part. David and his men, They were grieving. So David and the men came back to the city, and behold, the city was burnt with fire. Their wives were gone, their sons were gone, their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people lifted up their voices, and they wept until there was no more power in them. Notice, you're crying about something that's not over yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes we're crying because it looks like it appears that we have taken a loss. But I want to tell you, the battle is not over. You are still anointed to win. You, if you don't get anything else tonight, write this down. You were anointed to win. There is an anointing on your life to get it all back if you will have enough tenacity to pursue it. While they were weeping, while they were crying until there was no more strength because their wives were gone, their sons were gone, their daughters were gone. Verse 6 says, they were in distress, and David was greatly distressed. God has given us a power to overcome fear even when we're distressed. David was at the point of distress because it looked like he had taken a loss. Well, here's the conclusion of the matter. In verse 8 it says, and David, this is all I came to say, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue, go back and get it, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? David said, Lord, shall I go back and get my stuff back? Will I overtake them? Have they gone so far away that I will never find them? Are they still within my reach? That's what it means, shall I overtake them? Will I make it before they get too far away? Is it too far for me to get back my promise? Have I gone too far to get back my dream? Am I too old to accomplish what you promised me? Has time robbed me of my dream and my vision? And watch the answer of the Lord. He says, and the Lord answered him and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Okay. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter whether you're 55 or 60 years old. If your dream seems like it's too far away, people will tell you you're too old to accomplish it. People will tell you if it was going to happen, it would have happened 20 years ago. But I came to prophesy under the unction of the Holy Ghost. You are not too far away from it. You shall overtake it. It's in your reach. God said if you have enough Holy Ghost tenacity to pursue it, he said you shall recover it all without fail. My God, my God.
Jesus.
You have been anointed to recover it all. It's not too late. You haven't gone too far. Whatever people said, forget about that now. You're in the season of recovery. And God said, if you will have enough Holy Ghost tenacity to pursue it, you shall recover all, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Nasta tovakatash.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. So I want to tell you, you can still win. You can still get it back. You can still recover it all. David asked, Lord, shall I overtake him? And he said, without fail, you shall recover all if you will pursue it, saith the Lord of hosts unto you today. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much, Bishop Dixon, for coming on, Prophet Dixon. I know it was a spur of the moment. I was to do it earlier yesterday and last night. I didn't know how your schedule was, but I thank you so much. I do a program for the last 13, 14 years. Every Wednesday, I come on a lesson, something mighty, appointment or something. I do a show, Joy and Peace, and I come on with different topics every Wednesday from 10 to 10:30. And if I have guests come on, I usually put it longer. But if I'm by myself,
right,
I just use 30, 45 minutes. But, oh, you just blessed my socks off, my soul, on 1 Samuel chapter 30. And
yes,
each
indeed,
one of the verses,
Lord.
Then when you got to verse 8, and pursue it no matter how old you are, no matter if God said it, it's going to come
is
to pass.
That a word?
You can't give up. You can't throw in the towel.
My God.
You got to pursue it. You got to overtake it. Ooh, thank you.
You shall overtake it. And
shall overtake it.
Something, Lord. I'm shouting in the house right now. And notice what it says. He was anointed to pursue it even when he was under distress.
Yes.
You can be anointed even in stress.
Mm.
He was stressed out. So many people are stressed out. They're taking medicine. They're going to the doctors. They're having heart attacks because they're stressed out. But this text proves that when David was stressed out, and let me give you this for free. I was just trying to hurry up, but let me give you this for free. Watch what David did. Watch what David did when he was in distress. When he came to the house, he finds out that his daughters are gone, his sons are gone, his wives are gone, and the city is burned. It said David was in distress. All the men was blaming David that he didn't leave some people home to guard his stuff. They were mad at David. David said, I took everybody. I didn't leave anybody home to guard nothing because I was depending on God to watch my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and they said, they considered stoning David. David in distress. But watch what David does in verse 7. Before David gets a word from the Lord, this is important. Before David gets a word from the Lord about the recovery, in verse 7, he does something very unique. He goes to the priest and he tells the priest, bring me the ephod.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me the holy garment. And David changed his clothes. Sometimes we can't hear from God clearly because we got on the same old stuff. We got on depression. We got on oppression. We wearing the coat of fear. We wearing the coat of disappointment. We're wearing a jacket of oppression. We have given the word that somebody else spoke over our life. We have given that more credence than what God has said. Okay, we're operating and wearing the garment of other people's opinion while we're trying to hear from God. When I'm trying to hear from God, I need to shut down everybody else's opinion, because the only thing that
That's
really
right.
matters is what God says. And if somebody gonna speak into my life, speak what God says. Not what you
there
think,
you go.
And not what you feel, and not what you believe. Because then I got a word from the Lord, not a word from you. There's a difference in getting a word from somebody and getting a word from
getting
the Lord.
Getting a word from the Lord. Mm.
So when I'm in distress and I'm fighting for my life, I don't need to know what your opinion about the situation is. I need you, if you're going to help me, to hear from God and come back to me and say, Dixon, Bishop, thus saith the Lord. Now, because I can rely on what God says.
Mm-hmm.
What you say is only an opinion. What somebody
yeah.
says is only an opinion. But you can depend on God. The old saints said, you can depend on a word from the Lord. And you can take God's word to the bank. He did something very unique in verse 7. He changed his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and put on a holy garment so I could hear from God, a garment of praise. The scripture speaks about a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So he went to the priest and he changed his clothes. He had to get out of depression. Because remember, it says, two verses before, it says he was grieved and he was vexed. And they were crying and weeping until they had no more strength.
Yes.
So
yes.
We've got to know how to take off some of that stuff so we can hear from God. And once he changed his clothes, he gets to verse 8 and he says, Lord, shall I pursue? Will I undoubtedly overtake them? Will I catch up to them? Well, have they gotten too far away that I'll never get my stuff back? I want to tell you, if God gave it to you, he will never let the devil carry your stuff too far away that you can't get it back. And the shout is, notice, they burned down the city, but the things that were valued, here's the catch, They burnt the city, set the city on fire. But the things that were most valuable to David and his men were their wives and their sons and their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And notice it said they didn't kill any of them, large
right.
or small. They just took them captive because God would not allow the enemy to destroy that which is valuable to you because he intends for you to pursue it and get it back. Sometimes God allows these things to happen just to find out whether you got enough tenacity to trust him.
Yes.
Whether you'll pursue it. How bad do you want it?
How bad do you want it?
How bad do you want it? Sometimes God wants to know, how bad do you want it? And I want to prophesy to your radio listeners, the same God that has given us previous victories will give us victory again. Your name is victory. If you are in God, you have given the Lord your life. You have said yes to the will of God concerning your life. Your name is victory. And even the things that the enemy has stolen, if you have enough Holy Ghost tenacity to pursue it, God said, you shall recover it all without fail. My God.
Without fail.
Without fail.
Without fail. Recover it all.
Without fail. Without fail.
Without fear. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for that word today. And you
yes,
breaking
indeed.
It down, Bishop. I thank you. I thank you. And I know those that's listening late now or later in the archives, they're going to have a lot to be sown tonight.
My God, my God.
My
I
God,
pray that this
my
word
God.
Bless somebody. Would you let me pray real quick for your radio listeners?
Oh, yes, Sarah. You ain't got to be in the hurry. Go right ahead.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these radio listeners, God, and those that have taken out time in their schedule, God, to hear a word from you. I pray now, God, that everything that the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm has eaten out of their lives, God, I pray the spirit of return. I pray the power of tenacity that it will come upon everybody who has seemingly taken a loss in this season. God, there is a special anointing that's being released even in these latter closing months of this year. There's a special anointing that is being released to those who have enough tenacity to pursue, to get back what the enemy has taken and what the enemy has stolen and what the enemy is holding captive, God, that belongs to your people. I pray that spirit of tenacity will come upon every listening ear now, that we will have enough Holy Ghost tenacity, enough faith in you, God, to pursue it, to get back everything that you've promised us. Get back the dream. Get back the business. Get that back the spirit of entrepreneurship. I pray that their marriages will recover. I pray that the relationship between parents and children will recover. I pray that their dreams and aspirations will recover now. I speak the spirit of recovery on every listening ear tonight, God, that we will not let the enemy continue to carry away the things that you've given us, that we will believe by faith even those things that we were lost, even those things that we gave away, even those things that we lost because of neglect, God, they still belong to us. You gave them to us, God, and you have given us the spirit of get them back. I pray now,
yes,
God,
Lord,
that you would give us the tenacity to go get everything back, the spirit of go get it back. I pray it on every listening ear. Go get your marriage back and go get your children back and get your dream back and get your vision back and get your business back. The spirit of go get it back will be released now in the name of Jesus. I decree it and I declare it. And no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I prophesy now that the curse is broken and the spell is destroyed and the witch is dead in the name of Jesus. I decree it. I decree it now in the name of Jesus. It is done, and it is so.
It is done.
In Jesus' matchless name
thank
we pray.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're believing
well, I'm
God.
Woo, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I thank God for you
we're
coming
believing
on.
God.
Believing in. Believing in on his
yes.
word.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Bishop, for coming on with me today as my special guest. I give God the praise for you and the glory and for the word that you shared with the listening audience today. And I know blessed, and I know they will be blessed when they tune in and hear it later on. For those that wasn't listening, they will be able to tune in, and they can go to the archives and pull it up for today. I give God the praise and glory.
We've been talking about Job for the last week, and we're going to conclude that matter on Sunday.
Yes.
So those of you who are listening,
I can't wait.
Come and receive a word on Sunday. The power of God was so awesome this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I don't know what about everybody in the building left drunk. We were drunk in
That's
the
right.
Spirit,
I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be able to drive home. It was a couple of days before I really got back together.
I mean, one of the saints called me and said, Bishop, it took me 3 days to start back speaking English. I was speaking in tongues for 3 days. It took me that long to start speaking English again. So I'm telling you, the power of God was in the room.
I
so
mean,
if you need to hear a word of encouragement, and we laid hands on people Sunday, man, the power of God.
Yeah.
So if you need a touch from the Lord, if you want to meet us, come on out. We're having a 2:00 crusade on Sunday, and if any of the listeners want to come on out Sunday, they can do that. That address is 12505B. 12505B. Gulf Freeway, Houston, Texas. I'll give it one more time. It's 12505B. Gulf Freeway, Houston, Texas. 77034. And that's this Sunday, crusade night at 2 p.m. This Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., all roads will meet there. And that address again is 12505B, Gulf Freeway, Houston, Texas. And we'll be there at 2 p.m. Bring the lost, the sick, the dying, those that need to be recovered. Bring the wheelchairs, the walkers, and the canes, because it's going to be a miracle meeting this Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Well, God bless you. I love you, Apostle.
Thank you. And thank you again
for
coming on and sharing and praying with the audience and letting them know about Miracle Crusade on Sunday evening at 2 o'clock. I'm going to try to get some people on there for 2 o'clock.
Oh, my God. We were talking about the anointing. I'm going to let you go. We were talking about the anointing that hit the place on your son on Sunday. My God, your son prophesied, and he said he saw angels. I fell out. My God, I'm telling you, the anointing was so thick in that room. I'm telling you. So we're asking the people, if you need a miracle, meet us there at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And God bless you, Overseer.
God bless you.
I'm going to let you
and
your listeners
you so
go,
much.
And y'all continue to pray
I'll call
us.
You. A little later.
All right.
I want to see if you can. Okay. Thank you.
God bless
you. And you have a wonderful morning.
All right. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.